Welcome to the LifePoint Palm Bay Sermon Podcast. We encourage you to make copies of this message, but please don't charge for those copies. If you'd like to know more about LifePoint Palm Bay, please visit lifepointpb.com.
We've been, for about almost 2 years now, every time we do the Lord's Supper, we've been focusing on a different character or quality of Jesus. Because the scripture says, Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. As a matter of fact, Nathan and I were putting the table up here a couple days ago, and he said, where's the front? And I said, it really doesn't matter because it gets covered up with a tablecloth. But if you didn't have a tablecloth here, you can see it engraved on there. It actually says, do this in remembrance of me. So we want to remember Jesus, and we often, when we come to the Lord's table, we remember the fact that he died, that he was crucified for our sins. We should remember that. We should never, that should never become old hat to us, that Jesus died for our sins, that he rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, victorious over sin, and that you and I have life because of him. His life is now our life. And so we celebrate that. But there is so much more about Jesus than just the fact that he died and rose again. There are so many qualities of Jesus. There's the character that he, who he is, and what he demonstrates, and how that operates in your life and in my life. And so each time we do the Lord's Supper, until the Lord stops me, we're going to keep looking at a different character, a different quality. And we've looked at many over the last couple of years. I was praying about the one for this week, and it was actually 2 weeks ago, and we went over to Orlando to the concert. Brooklyn Tabernacle was there, and Jim Cymbalist spoke, and I had been praying all during that week, Lord, what quality do you want us to look at? What character, what characteristic of you do you want us to look at when we do the Lord's Supper? And I was just praying and listening. And by the way, I would share with you, I would encourage you this way. When you ask the Lord a question, give him time to listen and give him time to answer it. Sometimes when I ask the Lord a question, he gives me an answer right away. I mean, it almost seems instantaneous. I get an answer. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. In this case, it had been a number of days where I'd just been crying out, and I hadn't heard, I mean, I had some ideas and some different things, but none of it rang, had that ring of this was the Lord speaking. We went over to the concert that night, and it was a blessing, it was a great time, and Jim spoke, and as he shared that night, the Lord said, that's the quality I want you to focus on, right there. So those of you who were there, 30 or 40 of you who were there, you know where Jim went. He spoke that night out of John chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, you want to turn over to John chapter 2, you can do that. And then I kept praying. I said, okay, Lord, there's different ways we could say this. Because Jim that night talked about God working miracles, that he's a miracle worker. I thought, well, we could do that. Oh, and if you need a Bible, thanks, guys. I forgot about that. If you need a Bible, just wave. Our ushers have them. Thanks for reminding me, gentlemen. If you need one, just wave at our ushers. They'll pass one to you. Then you can turn over to John chapter 2. We also put it up on the screen, but I encourage you to look at it for yourself in printed form because I'm old school that way, and I like it. I think it's important. You need to make sure that what I tell you is the truth. So as we were sitting there that night, the Lord began to confirm, I want you to talk about this. I thought, well, Lord, what quality, how do you want to title this, if you will? And well, he's a miracle worker. We know that. But you know, we throw that term miracle around a lot, especially in church. And sometimes it doesn't mean as much because we throw it around a lot. And I thought, well, there's power here. I mean, he's all powerful. Well, we know that. And but again, we can get churchified. You know what it is to be churchified? You hear something so much, and no matter how majestic and powerful and wonderful it is, it doesn't mean much to us because we're so used to hearing it. And so I thought, I'm asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want this to be titled? During the hurricane, the Lord gave me a title at last Sunday. And because we were part of the experience are all the transformers that explode. All right? You guys, you see all that? And if you are able to see out, if you're in a place where you're able to see out, they make the loud noise, obviously, when they go kapooey. And then they also have different color light and all. I mean, they light up the sky literally when these transformers go. And as I was sitting there, all of a sudden the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, Jesus is your transformer. He's your transformer. Oh, he has all power. He does miracles, but he's your transformer. Now, you need to understand a little bit about a transformer. I'm not going to go deep, so don't. Some of you are already ready to take a nap because I'm going to start talking about science and physics and all that. I'm not going to go that deep because I'm not that deep, all right? I'm going to keep it real simple here. But all you need to know about power, about electricity, is in those high voltage lines that travel up above, overhead or under the ground, wherever they happen to be, they carry very, very high voltage. Anywhere, they can be anywhere from 400,000 to 750,000 volts running through those high voltage lines. And they do that because it's more efficient to send it at higher voltage. Because in our homes, we don't need that much. If you had that much voltage coming in your home and plugged your TV or computer, whatever, it would blow up, all right? And so you don't need that kind of voltage in your home. So somewhere along the way, they have to take this enormous, almost unimaginable amount of power, and they have to take it and convert it, transform it into something that you and I can use, be benefited by, and work with and grow with in our homes. I want you to think about Jesus and what he does. Jesus has all power because he's God. But he says, I'm going to take this enormous, unimaginable, unlimited source of power, and I'm going to transform it in you so that it causes you to be changed, to be able to work, to operate, to function the way I've designed for you to function, to be able to accomplish what I designed for you to accomplish, to be able to think the way I want you to think, to be able to feel the way I want you to feel. So I'll do all of this. I will take all of this and I will transform you. I will be the transformer in your life. That's what I will do. This power, what does Scripture say in Acts? All power, all authority has been given unto us. The Scripture says in Acts 1 that when we receive the Holy Spirit, that power would come to us and we would be witnesses. And 2 Corinthians, it talks about the fact that we have in these earthen vessels, these bodies, these human bodies, the very power of God on display. That's who he is. That's what he does. Now look with me at John chapter 2, because this is really important. John chapter 2, this is the very first miracle that Jesus does. This is the first sign. This is the first demonstration of his earthly power when he, as he begins his ministry. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. That's an important point, and one that Jim brought out. Why was Jesus at the wedding? It tells you in that verse. Why was he there? He was invited. That's important. Don't forget that. I'll never forget, with Katie was about 5 or 6. Is Katie in here this morning, or is she working somewhere? You in here, Katie? She may be working back in the back. Katie was about 5 or 6, and she had her first experience of not being invited. You guys all know what it is. We've all felt it, right? You all have wanted to go to something you were not invited to. Or someone else, even if you didn't want to go, someone else you knew was going, all of a sudden you wanted to go, all right? But you weren't invited. She had that, 5 or 6 years old, she had a kindergarten teacher who got married. And Katie loved this teacher and all. And Katie had a little friend, and the friend was the flower girl in the teacher's wedding. And we all were invited. We went. We weren't real close with this teacher, obviously. We knew her acquaintances. But we had been graciously invited to the wedding. It was a big affair. But to the reception, it was a much smaller deal, and we had not been invited to the reception, and which is understandable. Obviously, that's not offensive in any way. That's just reality. Sometimes we have a lot of people in a wedding. You can't necessarily have them all in a reception. And so we weren't invited. But Katie saw her little friend as the flower girl actually get in the limo with the bride and the groom going to the reception. So she wanted to go with her friend and with the bride and the groom in the limo. And it's like, sweetie, you can't do that. Well, why not? And it's like, well, we weren't invited to the... I want to go. We weren't invited. Well, you go over and tell them that we need to be invited and tell them to go. You go fix it. No, sweetie, I can't do that. I can't, you know, we're not invited. And she cried and she cried. And the whole, it was her first taste of not being invited. And we've all experienced that. We've all seen it. Jesus was at this wedding not because he was a wedding crasher. All right? Jesus didn't go around crashing weddings. He was at a wedding in Cana because he was invited to be there. This is important, and I'll just show you why in just a moment. Let's keep reading. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, What does this have to do with me? Now, that sounds rough in our language, okay? It really does. Woman, what do I got to do with you? If I'd said that to my mother, my dad would have knocked me down. I'd have been picking myself up off the floor. I don't care how big or old I was. But in the original language, it doesn't sound quite the way it comes across in English, okay? He wasn't being disrespectful at all. He was simply making a point. He was addressing her. He said, Mom, it's not time for me. The timing is not right here in all this. My hour has not yet come. Look at the next verse with me. It goes on, his mother said to the servant, do whatever he tells you. Now, there are two things in here I don't want you to miss. Number one is, she came to him and said, hey, we've got no more wine. There's a problem here. There's a need here. We've got a situation. There's no more wine. And the second thing she did, even after, this reason you know that he wasn't being disrespectful to her, because her response to them, whatever he says, do it. She knew he wasn't being disrespectful, but she also did not know what he was going to do or how he was going to do it. So she simply tells the servants, whatever he says, you do. Now, the thing that was so good that night, a couple weeks ago as I sat there, and as Jim was bringing this out, he said, if you want to see God do miracles in your life, if you want to see him transform, his power transforming in your life, you see the key to that in this passage of Scripture. These three things. Number one, invite him in. Invite him to the situation. Now, for some of you, you may be here today and you've never invited him into your life at all. You don't know Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. So for you today, the first miracle that needs to happen is this miracle we call new life. Being born again is a term in Scripture. It simply means that Jesus comes and he changes you at the deepest part of who you are. He makes you new. He takes your sin. He takes all of your unrighteousness, and he gives to you his righteousness, his sinlessness, and he makes you new. He makes you part of the family. He says, you're mine. I'm yours. But that happens by invitation. It doesn't happen by going to church, okay? It doesn't happen by osmosis. You can't go home tonight and lay a Bible on your head as you go to sleep and wake up in the morning and be a Christian. It doesn't work that way. It happens by invitation. You invite him in. He's a gentleman. He doesn't barge his way in. I love that in Revelation 3, where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I love the fact that he's knocking. It's Jesus. He could just kick the... He wouldn't even have to kick. He could just speak, and the door would come open. He'd just walk right in, but he doesn't. He says, I want to be invited. I give you the opportunity to invite. But this is true after we become a believer. We invite him in. This sounds easy. I have discovered it's really hard. It seems like it'd be the simplest thing in the world to invite Jesus into our mess, into our situation, into the place where we have a problem or where there's trouble. And yet often it's the very last thing we do. We do everything else imaginable, and even some things that are unimaginable, but we don't invite. Just stop. You say, well, how do I invite him? You just invite him. Say, Jesus, come into this mess. We call it prayer, but sometimes prayer scares us too. Prayer is just talking. Jesus, come into this mess. Jesus, this person is on my last nerve. I'm about to lose it. I'm about to kill somebody here, Lord. I'm upset. Come into this mess, which is me, into this situation. Come into it. Lord, I'm afraid. I know I shouldn't be afraid. I know the Bible. I've been told, preachers have told me my whole life, I shouldn't be afraid. The Bible says so 450 times. Don't be afraid, but I'm afraid. Invite him into your fear. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know the answer. Invite him in. Lord, I don't know what to do. Come into this mess. Come into this situation. You say, that seems really simple. It is the hardest simple thing you'll ever do. Because there's something about our human nature, our flesh, our pride, that stands in the way of us doing this. But it is very simple. It's not complex. It's very simple. I didn't say it was easy, but it's simple. Invite him in. When you invite him in, do the next thing that Mary did. Tell him what you need. Tell him what you want. Elizabeth for her sixth birthday. It was just a few days before her sixth birthday, and I was asking her, I said, Elizabeth, what do you want for your birthday? You're going to be 6 years old. What would you like? She did not hesitate. She looked at me. She goes, Dad, I either want to go to Paris or Dunkin' Donut. I'll leave it to you to decide which one we did, all right? I'm not a smart man, but I figured that one out real quick. I think we'll go to Dunkin' Donut, all right? But she told me what she wanted. There was no doubt what she wanted. The kids are always, Christmas time comes around. They don't leave it to chance. I get their list. Matter of fact, Katie will email me her list with weeks in advance, so I have plenty of time to make sure I get it right. But they tell me what they want. They tell me what they need. Tell him what you need. Very specifically, Lord, I don't have wisdom. I need to know what to do in this situation. Lord, I'm afraid. And I know I shouldn't be, but I am. Lord, I'm struggling. I've got this addiction in my life, and I'm a slave to it. Lord, I need freedom from this bondage. Lord, you say I'm supposed to love my wife, but I'm having a hard time doing that, Lord. I need you to help me love my wife. Tell me, teach me, show me, do this through me. Wives are sitting there. The Bible says I'm supposed to honor, respect my husband. I'm having a hard time doing this. Jesus, help me. I need you to help me. Show me what it means to honor and respect. Empower me to do this. You invite him in, and then you tell him what you need. Now here, these two are difficult, but easier than the third one. And here's the third one. Do whatever he says. Do whatever he says. Now, some of you may immediately think, well, how do I know what he's saying? It's hard for me to hear. You talk about hearing God. This is my discovery, and this in my 40-plus years of my journey with Jesus, here's what I've learned. Hearing God is not hard. Being willing to hear God is very difficult. Hearing him is not complicated. It is not hard. Being willing to hear him is really, really hard. And so the first battle I always have in listening to the Lord is getting my heart to such a place where I'm willing to hear whatever he says. Lord, you can tell me whatever you want to. I'll listen. I'll hear it. I'll receive it. The reason this is so hard is because we've already made up our mind what this miracle is supposed to look like. When you use this power, Lord, and transform, here's how I want you to do it. That's not listening to what he says. That's me already determining what's best. You just simply come. You say, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do. It's going to require faith to do this. Always, every time, it will require faith. Whatever he tells you will require faith to do it. It probably won't make any sense. Sometimes it does, but most of the time it doesn't. Probably won't make any sense. There will be other people who will look at you when you tell them what you believe God said to you, and they will tell you that you are nuts. All right, maybe in nicer terms, they'll just look at you like you're nuts or that you have three heads. All right, they'll give you that look. That's all part of it. Now, sometimes they may be giving you wisdom because what you thought you heard really wasn't the Lord, and there's a place for that. But most of the time, when we really hear the Lord, when he really speaks, it's going to require me to have to walk by faith, not by sight. It's going to seem strange to other people, many other people. If they're not used to walking by faith, it's going to seem strange to them. You need to be prepared for that. It's going to seem strange to you. But you have to do what he says. You will not experience this transformation, this power at work within you, if you don't do what he says. You don't justify it. You don't make excuses. You don't figure out a way. You don't negotiate with the Lord. You simply just do what he says. Mary, when the angel comes to her and says, you're a virgin, but you're going to conceive without having ever slept with a man, you're going to conceive and you're going to give birth, and the child that you're going to birth is going to be Messiah. Now, I can imagine this young teenage girl, she's afraid, she's confused, she doesn't understand how in the world, she said, how can these things be? You know, she says, I'm young, but I understand you don't get pregnant this way, all right? But notice what she said after all that. Be it unto me according to your word. Lord, whatever you say, make it, you know, if you're a Trekkie guy, make it so, all right? Make it so. Whatever you say, Lord, do that. That's what I want. It's very simple. But Jesus says that when you come to me, understand that I'm a miracle worker. I have all power, and I want to I will transform you. I will do the supernatural in you. Invite me in. Ask me plainly for what you need or what you want. Sometimes people worry, well, what if I'm asking outside of his will? He's more than capable of showing you that. I don't worry about asking for things outside his will, because he is more than capable. He quickly shows me, you're asking outside my will. Change what you're asking. He's more than capable of doing that. And then after you do that, be willing to do whatever he says. Lord, I'll do whatever you say, no matter what it is. I'll do what you say. I want you to bow your heads with me for a moment. In your life right now, do you need to see his transforming power? I was talking to someone this morning, and they were talking about their week and how they could see the problem in themselves, but they still were that way. It didn't change. We've all been there, where we can see the problem, we just don't change. So what's the situation this morning, where you need to see his transforming power? Invite him in right now. Invite him. Say, Jesus, I want you. I'm willing. I'm relinquishing control of this. I'm inviting you to come be here, involved in this. And then tell him what you need. Specifically, just tell him. And it doesn't have to be in church language, just plain English. Tell him what you need. Sometimes I think people are afraid, I gotta have the right verses to go with it, or I gotta say it so it sounds spiritual. No, just say it. Just say it. Have you invited him in to the situation? And have you told him what you need? Because I'm giving you time right now. There's nothing else we have to do this morning more important than that. And if you don't know Jesus this morning as your Savior, invite him in. Say, Jesus, I don't know you. I invite you into my life. I need you to save me, to make me new, make me righteous, make me whole, make me yours. I need you. Invite him in. Have you told him what you need? Just specifically. Lord, this is what I need. Or it's what I want. Again, don't worry about it being his will so much right at the moment. He will clarify it for you if you really are willing to do this last part. And here's the hard part. Would you tell him, Jesus, whatever you say, I'll do. Whatever you say, I'll do. Whatever you communicate to me, I say yes to. Stand before you this morning, and I could bring dozens of others up here to stand with me to testify that if you will do these three things, you will experience his miraculous supernatural power at work in you. You will. I guarantee it. Because I don't have to make the guarantee. He does. He will work supernaturally in you and through you. You say, well, can I do it just one time? I wish. I've discovered for me it's pretty much daily. Daily. Lord Jesus, right now, we invite you in. We invite you in to whatever the deal is. For each of us, it's different. But we invite you in. Lord, we just tell you plainly, this is what we need. And we express by faith, as an act of our will, relying on you completely to do it in us, but we tell you, Lord, whatever you say, we will do. Whatever you say, we will do. Lord, as we come to this table, we recognize this is exactly what you did. Right before, right after you took this, you went out and you prayed, you cried out to your Father, you invited him into what you were walking through. You told him exactly what the pain was and the need was and what your desire was, which was not to have to do this. And then you, so clearly for us, said, Father, not my will, yours. Whatever you want, I'll do. Whatever you say, I'll do. In case you think this is an isolated occurrence, there are 37 recorded miracles of Jesus in the Gospels. I went through that night. I was so challenged by this, I went through and began to read them all. 37 of them. This pattern is seen in almost all of them. Almost all. You see the same pattern. Invite him in, tell him what you need, do whatever he says. So Lord, today, we believe you. We trust you. And we believe, Lord, that your desire for us is transformation by your power. Your power at work in us and through us. Miracles. Supernatural. Things unexplainable. Lord, not because we're anything special or unique, because you love to demonstrate your glory and your power through us. So we praise you and we thank you. And we pray this in your precious name, Jesus, that you would receive all glory.